Cool. So that's what we've got to look forward to this morning. We're going to be looking at Holy Spirit empowered. And there's two things I want to say, then I'm going to give Steve a gap. But tomorrow, we have such an exciting new thing happening here at Grace Cove. There is a church, some of you will know them, HCF in KZN. Dwayne and Lauren have ministered here, and they were here with us earlier in the year. And they are sending two young guys to come and to serve here, to intern here at Grace Cove for 3 months, starting Monday tomorrow. So how cool is that? They're going to get involved. You'll see them on stage. Colette and I, and some of you guys know them personally, they're outstanding young men, and we're very confident in the call of God on their lives, and so they're going to be everywhere. You blink, and they will be there. And so what we are asking you guys is we need some housing for them. So if you have a spare room, and please, it doesn't have to be the Taj Mahal, we just need one room. They're just boys. You can put them on the floor. They'll be okay. And so we're asking if you can let us know. We'd love you maybe to host for a week or a weekend, or say we'll make a meal or invite them into our home for an evening or a Sunday lunch. Some of you guys have already offered, and so we are looking for you guys to help us out. The goal is they're going to be serving us. Wouldn't it be cool if we could just bless them in this way? So please let us know, right? Then also, if you're keen to help out in the serving here at Grace Cup, particularly in the hosting and the hospitality side, then you can chat with Colin and Laura. You would have seen them coming in. If not, you can chat to anyone that you've seen on the mic. We'll point you in the right direction. And then the last thing I want to say, remember last week we had the Frenchies by a video, remember? And we prayed for that church led by Nick and Esther in Annecy, Église des Nations. And you know how cool it was? Sunday afternoon, in the Sunday afternoon, the 5 o'clock meeting, I got a text from him to say they baptized a young guy in the lake Sunday morning. So while we were praying for them, they were doing a baptism that side. How cool is that? And I said to him, well, it's clearly our prayers. And he came back, he said, obviously. So isn't that amazing to know that we get to partner like this? Steve-O, come quick.
So guys, on Tuesday night, Craig just was speaking about the Holy Spirit and how does the Holy Spirit talk to us. And, you know, just gave us some practical examples, and he just chose random numbers, 1 to 5, you had to choose, and with that number came an object. And he said, well, now just speak about that object, and what does that object mean to you? And it's one of the ways that we can practice on how the Holy Spirit, because it's awkward, it's an awkward thing to go up to a stranger and to talk to a stranger about God. And so Craig just said it's a great exercise to do and to help one another just be comfortable with sharing Christ and being comfortable with the Holy Spirit. So I'll just give you a practical example. This here is a jacket. It's a compact jacket. I'll open it. And what stands out for me is that we've got our Bible, and it's compact. But this jacket can stay in our closet and can be do no good for us. Just as the Bible can stand in our closet or at our bedside table, and if we don't read it, it's going to be no good for us. Also, this jacket was designed by designers. It was designed by technical guys, and it was designed by the marketing team of K-Way. And a lot of effort went into this jacket. Same as God's put a lot of effort into this Bible. The Bible's orchestrated by God. It's His Word. It's how we do life. If you don't know how to do life, this is your go-to book. It's your go-to book for marriage. It's your go-to book for finance. It's your go-to book to raising kids. This is the book that sets you up for life, to do life. And, yeah. And then the last thing is this jacket has got a logo on it, K-Way. And it's designed to bring in sales for the company. And we have to go out and bring other disciples. We have to go out and tell the world about Jesus Christ. So that's just an example of what Craig spoke to us about on Tuesday night. Thank you.
Well done. Here you go. Isn't that cool? The point was, we just want to become comfortable with the Holy Spirit like a friend. And this morning we're going to have a look at how we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. So this morning we celebrate Pentecost. Now you may say, Penta what? Yeah, okay. Well, Pentecost comes from the Greek word meaning 50. So it's not too highfalutin. And it relates in the Old Testament to Harvest Festival, the Day of First Fruits. Anyone grow up bringing bags, cans of beans to church? I remember once a year you used to come and there would be a thing in the front and everyone would pile. It reminded me of the Hunger Games. It's bothered me all these years, the cornucopia. But it was a celebration, picking up on the Old Testament of how God has blessed us and provided for our lives. And in the New Testament, we see the same thing. And you can read with me in Acts chapter 2, read from verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one. Notice the language. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. If we jump to verse 41, it says, those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Talk about a harvest festival. Yes, 3,000 born again, added to the church. Now, forgive me, I'm not treating human beings as objects, but what a harvest for the kingdom of God. Isn't that amazing? The word of God came, the power of the Holy Spirit, and instantly we see not only a harvest of souls, but we see the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the producing of these beautiful gifts and fruits in the life of human beings, just like you and I. So Pentecost 50 is celebrated on the 50th day, the seventh Sunday after Easter. That's how we get here. And it commemorates the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and the other followers of Jesus Christ while they were in Jerusalem celebrating Harvest Festival in this passage we've just read. I love this passage. I read it from one of the scholars. They say, from a historical perspective, Christianity didn't start with Jesus' birth, his death, or even his ascension to heaven. Rather, it started at Pentecost, the day that the Holy Spirit entered a room holding a couple of apostles and entered those human beings. And then the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is what makes the church the church. Otherwise, we could just be a bunch of people gathered around a book. As important, I 100% love what Steve showed us. Bible is the Word of God is important. But it's possible. I was raised to read the Bible when I was not born again. Yes, until the Holy Spirit entered into my heart, regenerated my soul, made me alive, and all of a sudden I could understand what I'd been reading. Yes, and so we can say, man, where did the church start? Actually, the founding of the church came with this. I can only imagine this. Can you just picture for a minute, just like, oh, that noise. Hey, like a violent wind, it says. You know, sometimes in that, we don't get wind much up here, hey? But when it does come, it shakes the trees, and all of a sudden, the Bible says, violent wind. Then there were tongues of fire. Imagine being in that meeting. Hey, you can see something is different. Something is changing. And the church was birthed in the power of the Holy Spirit. John Stott says that as a body without breath is a corpse, so the church without the Spirit is dead. Yeah? It's so easy for us to focus on, remember, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, triune God. It's easy for us to focus on, well, I had a father, good or bad, I can sort of compare him to God the Father. Then we think, well, Jesus, he came to earth as a man. I can get that one. But we can be very cautious around associating ourselves with the Holy Spirit because sometimes we don't quite understand. And so my purpose this morning is to help us refresh our memory, help us broaden our understanding from the Scriptures of who Holy Spirit is so that we can allow Him to infill us and to empower us. I found this was so amazing. A Presbyterian pastor wrote this. He says, for me personally, as religious observances go,
Easter rates a 10, Pentecost rates a 7, and Christmas a 6. But for the average member of my church congregation, probably Easter rates a 10, Christmas an 8, and Pentecost possibly a 3. Yeah? And truth be told, we treat things like the Ascension Day, Pentecost Day. They are, as Richard said, just dates on the calendar. And a date on a calendar, a solemn remembrance, does nothing for anyone. But it's when we allow the importance, the significance of this day to take a hold of our lives that everything changes. Okay. Holy Spirit comes to both indwell and to empower us, but depending on our nature, depending on our personality type, it's often either one or the other. And so listen to this. Personal indwelling of the Holy Spirit without the empowering to live or to service of the Holy Spirit produces selfish, needy, weak Christians. I'm rude, I know, and I mock too often. You know that song we used to sing, "To Get a Touch from the Lord Is So Real," back in the olden days. But sometimes all we want is a touch from the Lord. We just want some goosebumps, some feelings, and then that's it. And the Holy Spirit does want to touch us. He does want to make us feel His presence, all of those things. But it's like you stop halfway, we're in trouble. So if we just focus on the indwelling, the devotional side, "Oh, Jesus, I miss you. You haven't spoken to me for so long, and just tell me you're real." And sometimes we do need that. But if we camp there, we're in trouble. However, if we focus purely on the empowering of the Holy Spirit, we end up with service and acts that are without intimacy, love, and fellowship with Jesus. You understand how important both are? He indwells us. Where does it start? The Holy Spirit, the sound, the fire, the tongues of flames into people's hearts, right? Pentecost preaching, Peter stands up with the 11, 3,000 people saved. They hear them speak in their own languages. Yeah? We have the power of God, but it has to have, the infilling and the empowering must go together. Today we're going to focus on the infilling, and we'll talk about next week, the empowering. So from the Bible's second verse, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, "The earth was formless and empty, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters," through to its fifth, last verse, Revelation 22, 17, "The Spirit and the Bride say, Come." The Holy Spirit is integral throughout the Scriptures. And so friends, I'm going to go a little quickly because I want you to catch the heart. But the cool thing is about the video is you can, and the YouTube, you can go back and make sure you get all the Scriptures. They'll come up on the screen. You can get the notes if you ask. I want you to catch the heart, then I want us to minister to each other. That's the goal for this morning. The Holy Spirit is mentioned in 22 of the 39 Old Testament books, in 24 of the 27 New Testament books, 88 references in the Old Testament, 261 references in the New Testament. The Holy Spirit is a vital role in the Scriptures and in the church today. You getting it? Sorry, I'm not shouting. I'm just excited. Okay? And there's not there's detail, but don't worry about the detail. You can read it. You can look it up. I'm asking that you catch the heart today. Like when you want to talk about a good friend. Hey? If I ask you, "So who's your best friend?" And I say, "Well, tell me about him." You go, "Well, he's okay. He plays golf well. Or, I don't know, he's got a nice house." You know, okay, and? If it stops there, how good is that friend? Yeah? It's like, man, when you get a good friend, or when you meet the girl you're going to marry, or whatever it is, man, eventually you bore us to tears about that person. It's like, can you just give us a break? Okay, so we're talking about this dear Holy Spirit this morning. So who is He? Who is the Holy Spirit that wants to empower us? I love this. John Stott put it this way. He said, "For the Holy Spirit is a sensitive spirit. He hates sin, discord, and falsehood. He shrinks away from them. Therefore, if we wish to avoid hurting Him, we should shrink from those things too." The Bible speaks about Jesus, Luke chapter 4, was in the power of the Spirit, went into the desert to be tested by the devil. And then when He came back, it says, empowered by the Spirit. I want to suggest to you this morning that if Jesus, the Son of God, needed the empowering and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, then surely you and I do too. Yes? Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, I love that, hey? While he was just hanging out, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, it tells us, then they gathered around him and they asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Yeah. Like we go to politics and we go to the matters of the day, right? And he said to them, it's not for you to know about times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but like those are the small things. I've got some bigger things to tell you. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Out of that passage, there's some little beautiful nuggets I want to point out. You notice in verse 5, it tells us that the Holy Spirit is a gift. Wait for the gift. Now, how does it work with a gift? My friend Piet Wallace says, a gift has to be given to be a gift. But for a gift to be a gift, it also has to be received. You see, a gift is something that is given out of someone else's resources to a person that lacks. I had a birthday this week. Colette was saying last night, I'm so glad you had a birthday because I was sharing my chocolate with them, right? Yeah? You see, a gift is a gift that's given out of someone's resources to someone that doesn't have those resources. Notice the gift. Secondly, notice it was a gift that was promised. The gift the Father has promised. Not earned. Can I say even not deserved? Gift promised. Not doubtful. Not maybe not. Gift promised. It's the gift of the Father. It's the Father's gift. Hey? A friend of mine called Tyron speaks about how they gave their son a shirt for his birthday. And he said, you know, that son never wore the shirt. How would the father feel? Yeah? You know, when you spend all your money and you try and make this beautiful gesture to someone, they say thanks and they put it on the shelf and they forget. This is a gift promised by the Father. This Father who only knows how to give good gifts, the Bible says, to his children. Goes on to say, waits in the upper room. Hey? Then it says, you will, notice that word, will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Not doubtful, not maybe, but will. This last verse, verse 8, chapter 1, it says, you will receive. And I don't know, I grew up, my context was, it was far, maybe not. You know, we used to pray, oh Lord, like if it's your will, can you help me out? Because we didn't know him. We didn't, you know, and we were nervous around what his response to us would be. That's how I grew up, doubtful about the Lord. I knew the truth, but I was still doubtful in my relationship with him until I got born again. Yeah? And the Bible says you will receive. And it's not like if you've got enough e-bucks, you can cash them in and you might, you know. It's like you will receive. It speaks of the power and the presence of God turn you into witnesses. Paul writes to Timothy. He says, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God that is within you. Isn't that beautiful stuff? I'm excited, hey? Hope you are. So who is this Holy Spirit? We'll look at his names, his nature, some of the symbols that the Bible uses of him. And so who is this Holy Spirit? Well, the Bible uses various names which tell us of his nature, tell us who he is and what he does, the work of God. And so the Bible speaks about, calls him the Spirit of Holiness. In Luke chapter 11, 13, I will give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him. He's the Spirit of Holiness. The second is, he's the Spirit of God. Romans 8, 14, those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So guys, I'm going quickly. Don't panic. You can slow the video down and get all the points. But what I'm hoping is that you catch a sense of his personality, of who he is, more than is he, you know, I can't remember, was he 6'1" or 6'2"? No, just remember he's tall and you'll be good. You can get the detail, okay? The Bible goes on to say he's the Spirit of Christ. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, Romans 8 verse 9, he does not belong to Christ. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 27 tells us he's the Spirit of grace. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 14 tells us the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. He's the Spirit of glory. I trust you notice my language. We'll talk about it now. He has personality. We speak about God the Holy Spirit. I'm using personal pronouns. Not a spirit that hovers. Is, you know, if you're depending what Bible you grew up reading, I'm telling you my story. We can read the Holy Ghost and we're not too sure. Where does he fit? How is he? Now, we know we're talking about God, but he has personality. That's why he has names. John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. The Spirit of truth. Romans chapter 8, verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. The Spirit of life. Oh, this is a beautiful one. Romans 18:15, you receive the Spirit of sonship, the adopting Spirit. He puts me in a family, and whether you guys like it or not, I'm your brother. Fat chance of anything else. Because I have been legally adopted by the Spirit of adoption, the Holy Spirit, who gives me access into the family of God. And means I've got to put up with you too. Because we're now brothers and sisters, and that's not just code for I couldn't remember your name, brother. But I have legally been put into a family. I always keep telling you, when I go home, I can put my feet on the couch because I'm part of a family. Yes, that's the job of the Holy Spirit. Spirit. Isn't that amazing? It's the Spirit of revelation. Ephesians 1 verse 17, I will give you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. You got a board meeting this week? You got a difficult presentation to be made? You got something to try and figure out with some colleague or client or family member? Man, I've got good news for you. You just got to say, Spirit of wisdom, knowledge and revelation. You got to be with me this time. You go into the boardroom with the fancy pants guys. You look your CIOs, the EIEROs, whoever it is. You look them in the face knowing that the Spirit of God has indwelt you. Will give you wisdom, revelation, the knowledge to answer as well. I'm looking around and I know some of your jobs. Man, we can't do this without him, right? Some of his names. How about some? Let's talk about his person. The Holy Spirit is not a force. He's not an impersonal power or energy from God to man. He's not the system that God the Father used to turn us into puppets and pull our strings. He's a friend. He's one. The Bible calls him, the Greek word is paraclete. Means the one that comes alongside. The picture is, you know, when you kind of got injured and they stop the game on the field and the guys run on and they don't quite need the stretcher, but they put their arms under your arm this side, over your shoulder that side, and they lift you up because you can't put weight on your feet, and they help you to the side of the field. You know that picture? We South Africans, we've seen it before. Yes? It's just the soccer players. They fall over dead and then you just look at them and they stand up and they're fine. Yeah? They'd never need to be carried off, right? It's that picture of some strong people coming alongside you and lifting, taking the weight off your feet. That's the paraclete, the one who comes alongside. Isn't that beautiful? Not the parakeet. The paraclete, the one who comes along. I'm making fun because you remember the parrot, right? Yes. You'll say, Lord, I need you. I know you're not a parrot, but I know the one who comes alongside. That's the one I need today, Lord. Please. Please, Lord. I might not forget all this information. I might forget all this information. I might not remember the Greek words and all of the fancy stuff, but I know you. I know you. You're the one when my legs are struggling, you pick me up and you carry me. That's the one I need today, Lord. In the boardroom, in the lounge, in the supermarket. Lord, you're the one I need. The Bible says he's a person. He has emotions and he has feelings. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. You see, you can't grieve a ghost. You can't grieve a force. He has emotions and feelings. He leads and guides us. We've read it. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For those that are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. He's able to fellowship with us. Isn't that amazing? God, you can't even get, you struggle to get an appointment with your boss, never mind the Queen of England, never mind the God of all creation who comes to fellowship with us. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. May the God of grace, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Are you feeling lonely? Feeling like your friends have forgotten your name? Say, Lord, I need some fellowship today. He convicts us. He comforts and he counsels us. He teaches us. He pray. Anyone struggle to pray? Everyone's like, no, I can't. You guys are more honest than I gave you credit for. Hey? I would say some days I find it easier to read the Bible than pray. Other days easier to pray than read the Bible. Maybe it's just me. But there's this beautiful thing. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. When we don't know what to pray for, the Spirit Himself intercedes for us. Jesus, I need some fellowship. Jesus, I don't know what to pray. Jesus, like I've got no breath in my lungs. I can't even get the words out to you today. I need you to intercede for me. Oh, man. He's treated as a person in the scriptures. In Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira both lie to the Holy Spirit and test the Holy Spirit. Just saying, you don't want to do that, right? If you know the passage. He can be resisted. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. Stephen, about to get stoned, he looks at those Sanhedrin, those religious people that want to kill him. And he says this, he says, you stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, I don't want to fall into that category. I don't want to be one who resists the Holy Spirit. You see, he's not human. He's God, but he's a person. You understand? He has personality. Let me put it that way. Whoa. Because the Holy Spirit is not a person, we are either filled by the Holy Spirit. Sorry. Because the Holy Spirit is a person, we are either filled by the Spirit or we're not. Yes? Listen to this. Also, for example, you can't only have a quarter of your friend. Yeah? Which part of the person visited you last week? Now, all of it, you know, you couldn't leave half of them behind. You understand? We have the Holy Spirit or we don't. Also, it's not a case of how much I have of the Holy Spirit. Rather, it's how much He has of me. Let's quickly look at some of His symbols. Some symbols of the Holy Spirit. If I show you these pictures, do you recognize what they are? What's that? Oh, my sister. Hey, next. Let's go quick. Starbucks. Oh, who's spending? What's this one? How did you know that? A little curvy, squiggled green line, this one? Isn't it interesting how when we spot the symbol, we know exactly what is represented. And we know, no one goes to McDonald's and tries to order a book like you do at Amazon, right? You know, by seeing the symbol, you know what to ask for and what you're going to get from each one. Well, let's look at what the Bible tells us of the Holy Spirit. First of all, the Bible uses the symbol of wind for the Holy Spirit. It says the wind blows wherever it pleases. Isn't that amazing? You can't tell the Holy Spirit what to do. And we've got to be careful because sometimes we pray. We say, Holy Spirit, do this now. And I'm like, who do you think you are? Myself, I must be careful. I have to put a please in there. I don't tell my parents like that. How much the God of all creation? Yeah? You don't know where it comes from, the wind, or where it's going. Sometimes we're like, Holy Spirit, where are you? What are you doing? How do we, like, which way are we setting our sails to? Yeah? So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. The wind is sovereign and it's powerful. The second symbol that the Bible uses of the Holy Spirit is fire. Fire speaks of refining and destroying. I have to tell you, unfortunately, there's some things in me that the Holy Spirit has to destroy. There is a throne in me that grows too quickly. And I love to sit on that throne and lord it over my life. And that throne needs to come down and there needs to be an altar put in its place, right? Yes. God of fire. Oh, man. The next one is water. Whoever believes in me, as the Spirit has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit. And I say to you, sometimes you just got to sit quietly and just say, Lord, will you just unblock that well? Can those waters that you've promised flow? It's been a bit dry. You know, you see, they always show you when there's famine, that cracked ground, hey? That's me, Lord, today. I just need that water to trickle. Would you come and flow? You've promised it's in me, Lord, because I can't have just a piece. I have the whole of you, and hopefully you have the whole of me. Will you flow from me today, living water of God? Bible uses the symbol of a dove. It says when everyone was being baptized, when Jesus was baptized, remember, he came up out of the water and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven saying, you are my son whom I love and I'm pleased with you. Finally, Bible uses the symbol of oil. It says you loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. The dove speaks about peace and gentleness. The oil speaks about anointing and healing. Isn't that cool just to think a little deeper around Holy Spirit today? I doubt any of this is brand spanking new to everyone. But it's just helpful for us to say, hold on. Let me just like reset. Get a better understanding. You know, I was loving as the guys took their masks off to talk on the microphone. Now you at least know what their faces look like, right? Yeah, the number of people that is like Sunday by Sunday, we you're not quite sure. Like, you know, masks, you don't know if you've met the person or not. Yeah, and sometimes we just got to take our masks off and look with open face to the Lord. And sometimes we got to say, Lord, I'm sorry, I've put masks and stuff on you. I've treated you like someone you're not. I've put in my mind, I've looked at you as though you're harsh, or as though you're doubtful, or as though you're for other special people and not for me. I've put stuff on you, Lord, that today I'm reminding myself from the Word of God is not true. I want to behold you face to face and see you for who you are, that I might know you and that you, Lord, might know me. And so we've got just a few minutes left. How do we receive the Holy Spirit? We're speaking about indwelling. How do we receive the Holy Spirit? You see, at salvation, I've said the Holy Spirit regenerates us. The Bible speaks about we are made, taken from death and made alive. We're taken from the kingdom of darkness and we're brought into the kingdom of light. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He indwells us at salvation. But the Bible also speaks of believers' baptism in the Holy Spirit. We've read some of the scriptures already. Infilling at salvation is the beginning, but there is another event that happens. And then beyond that, there's the ongoing infilling of the Holy Spirit, because he doesn't just meet us once and leave us there. I'm so grateful. So let's read these two passages of scriptures. Acts chapter 8 verse 14. It says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria has accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. You guys that were around for Acts Alive, you'll remember the picture. Verse 18, it says, when they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they may receive the Holy Spirit. You see, it's not just trying to convince you, this is out of the Bible. It says, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them, they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's the believer's baptism, baptism of repentance. Verse 17, then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. When it comes to baptism in the Holy Spirit, receiving the indwelling, four key words: ask, wait, believe, receive. This is a cool, it's not rocket surgery. Yeah, I mean, even I can understand this level of stuff. Like you wait, or you ask. Remember Jesus says, you'll ask of me and I'll give you. But then he said, listen, I'm going, but you guys just wait in Jerusalem. Ask, wait. And he speaks about those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Just believe. Very hard to get a gift from someone that you don't believe is going to give it to you. Yeah? And then you just got to receive. Sometimes we've got to drop out of fences. That was my personal testimony. Have to drop out of fences so you can gain access to our hearts. Ask, wait, believe, and finally receive. According to the scriptures, I haven't got time, I'm going to finish with this. According to the scriptures, there are some people that the Lord sovereignly baptized. They were just... While Peter was still speaking, Acts chapter 10, the Holy Spirit came on them. Isn't that amazing? Others, when the Holy Spirit is sought by the believer, we've spoken about don't leave Jerusalem, wait, and the Holy Spirit comes. Sometimes, when we are helped by some godly friends, we've just read, they arrived, they prayed, they placed their hands, and the people received. And friends online, you too can simply just be quiet, even sitting on your couch, even with your family. You can just sit where you are and say, Lord, I've never been baptized in the Spirit. Will you do that to me today? Or, Lord, I feel like your indwelling is very low. Will you fill me today? As we wait here in this room, even now, before we even ask people to pray, Holy Spirit can come on you. Yeah. Guys on YouTube, God bless you. Have a great Sunday. Reach out to the Lord. Don't just rush off. Take a moment. Don't just click the kettle or whatever is next. Just take a moment and ask God the Holy Spirit to infill you this morning. We're going to continue. I'm going to open the floor. Is there anything else we need to do? No, cool. Guys, what I'd love you to do, if you'd like to come forward, we'd love to pray for you. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you don't speak in tongues, we'd love to pray for you this morning. If you just feel as though you need to be filled again, you feel like you've got distant from the Lord, just come. There's space in the front. Sometimes God does it sovereignly, like I've read. Sometimes He does it with ministry from others. Sometimes we just need a friend to stand next to us. And so, technically the meeting has come to an end. That's a crash landing of note. God bless you guys online. But friends, the floor is open. Please respond. We've got that playing. If you'd like us to pray for you, just come join us in the front. I'd encourage all of us just to settle for a moment. And then when you're ready, if you're done, you're welcome to go head out to the courtyard. There's a cup of coffee or tea. There's a great rusk out there. And there's some lacquer people that